When I was a kid, I couldn't wait to grow up. I couldn't wait to be older. I couldn't wait to be like my two older brothers. My two older brothers, everything that they did, I wanted to do after all. So I couldn't wait to grow up. I remember one Saturday afternoon looking longingly out the window as they got to mow the lawn, thinking to myself, why can't I mow the lawn? And of course, I was told the same thing every time. You're too small. You're too little. You're too young. You can't handle it. I couldn't wait until I could finally mow the lawn. I wanted to do everything that they did. I wanted to stay up late like they got to stay up late. I wanted to go out with my friends like they were able to go out with their friends. I couldn't wait to grow up so that I could do whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. You with me? Were you like that as a kid? Yeah. Boy, we didn't know, did we? No, I got my first clue that being an adult wasn't all it was cracked up to be when finally one summer it was deemed that I could mow the lawn. I remember that Saturday. I was all proud, strutting around the house, announcing I was going to mow the lawn that afternoon. My brothers snickered. I didn't understand what that meant. I still remember going out, very, very proud. I'm going to get on the mower, and I'm going to mow the lawn. Of course, they had to start it for me. But other than that, I was all set. So here I am, mowing the lawn. All right. It took four passes. Yep, down and back twice, and all of a sudden, I got the clue. This isn't exactly what I was expecting it to be. In fact, when I got done with the whole thing, all sweaty and tired, I came inside and my brothers announced to me, guess what? Next week, you get to mow the lawn again. It went downhill from there. Growing up, being an adult wasn't everything that I thought it was going to be, not the freedom that I thought that I was going to have. Because freedom is not doing just what you want to do. Freedom comes with responsibility, and freedom is more about choice. This is the point that Paul is trying to get to in the final verses of chapter 6 of his letter to the church at Rome. So he's been talking about how the fact that we've been set free from sin, we've been connected with Jesus through baptism, and now talking about how we're going to live in that freedom. And he's saying, so freedom isn't just doing anything that you want. You've been freed from sin, but that comes with a responsibility, and what that freedom really is a choice. Now you are free to choose. Will you serve sin, or will you serve God? See, before we were set free from sin, we didn't have a choice. We were trapped. We were trapped. We were having to serve sin, but now, which will you serve? Will you serve sin, or will you serve God? And he uses an analogy here that the church at Rome would understand, but unfortunately, we see this analogy and we bring a lot of baggage along with it because he starts talking about being a slave. I don't know about you, but whenever I read the word slave, I've got all kinds of baggage on that from our own U.S. history and our concept of slavery. So in our history, slavery was a certain ethnic group of people who were considered at that time to be subhuman or less than human. A group of people that, by and large, were abused by people, by their owners, by their masters. Okay, and that's an ugly part of the history that we rather forget. And especially given the circumstances of the last couple of weeks, we see the evil in that kind of thinking and that way of seeing that all people are created equal. But that wasn't the way it was, and unfortunately, some today still hold that incorrect view. But in Paul's day. Slavery was actually commonplace. I don't think commonplace. In fact, in Paul's day, some people would actually voluntarily get into a situation where they would be a slave to someone who would be their master. Now, that really blows our minds. Why would anyone ever want to do that? Well, there was actually advantages to that because you'd enter into this contractual arrangement, and there'd be a time limit on it, usually about 7 years. And so while you were a slave to this person, you were probably learning a trade. Maybe you were even starting your own business. Not everyone, right? But by and large, that's what was happening. So at the end of the 7 years, then you were set free. And if you will, you've gained insight. You've gained skills. You've bettered yourself, all right? So that's the concept that they have of slavery. Now, there's one thing about it, though, between a relationship of the slave and the master, which is the same. And that is, whatever the master says, you must do if you are a slave to that person. No, it's not like getting a job. All right, I'm going to enter a relationship contract with this person. I don't like it. I don't like the way they're treating me. I don't like the job that I have to do. I think I'll just quit. No, no. If you entered into a relationship where you agreed to be a slave to that person for 7 years, they owned you literally. And legally, you were bound to do whatever they said to do. Thus, Paul uses the analogy. Are you a slave to sin? Is your sinful nature calling the shots in your life, telling you what to do? Or are you a slave to righteousness? Is God in charge of your life? Is God calling the shots in your life? Freedom. Freedom isn't just doing whatever you want to do. Freedom comes with responsibility, and the freedom we've been given is a freedom of choice. That's why St. Paul says in verse 16 of Romans 6, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? So it's one of the two. Who is it that you're going to serve? Are you going to serve your sinful nature, or are you going to serve God? You see, we're free to choose. We're free to choose to serve sin. So you're free to serve sin if you want to. In fact, that is the natural choice. By nature, we are sinful. By nature, we're born into a sinful condition. This is what King David was getting at in Psalm 51. He says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So by nature, our natural choice is to be a slave of sin, because we're born into a sinful condition. And being born into that sinful condition, there's also a natural progression that takes place. If sin is going to be your master, if it's calling the shots, if you're going to follow your sinful nature, well, there's a progression that happens in your life. All right, so just for a moment, let's talk about sin in the broad sense. We toss that word around a lot. In the broad sense, sin is anything that we shouldn't do, but we do. So anything that we do, which we know is wrong, is considered sin. Sin is also not doing something that we're supposed to do. So everything that God does, we should do, and everything that God doesn't do, we shouldn't do. Anything outside of that would be considered sin in the broad sense. But there's a progression that goes along with that, and we see that there are three words that are used in Scripture that we might lump into the broad sense of sin. So it starts actually with the word sin itself. So sin in the narrow sense. The word actually means that you've missed the mark. So you're aiming for something, you're trying, you're doing your best, but not, you missed the mark. It's an archery term. So they have the target set up, you'd have the archer down there, he'd aim it up, he'd shoot the arrow. If he missed the target completely, then they would yell out, sin, he missed the mark. So we're trying to do the right thing, but we don't quite do it. So you want to love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's a problem. Your neighbor's a jerk. No, I mean really, he's a jerk, right? Every time you see him, the guy has got just a bad disposition. He never has a kind word to say. He's always confrontational. Whenever he cleans up his yard, he always seems to blow all of that junk over into your yard, right? And every time you say something to him, it gets even worse from there. But you say to yourself, I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Right? And you're trying really hard, and then he pushes your buttons, and you end up chewing him out. You're angry with him. You were trying to do the right thing, but you missed the mark, okay? The next progression is a transgression. A transgression is a willful act. That means you're choosing to do this. You know full well that it's wrong, but you're going to do it anyway. Usually, you've got some sort of justification in your mind. You've rationalized it out of why it's okay to do this thing, which you know is wrong. So you're in your backyard on Saturday morning, and you've got the blower out, and you're going to clean up all the dust and the debris. You have three choices of where you're going to blow the dust and the debris. There's the neighbor. All the dust and debris right over the wall into his pool. He deserves it anyways, because he's a jerk, right? But that's a willful act. You've decided you're going to do that. The final one we get into is iniquity. Iniquity is a way of thinking. So the first two are verbs. Sin, you missed the mark. Transgression, willful act, you've done something. Iniquity is a mindset. Iniquity means that you do things just second nature. That you do things to your neighbor, you're nasty to your neighbor, you didn't really think about it, that this is wrong. That's just who you are. You've had a change in your mind, you've had a change in your attitude. So in this case, your neighbor happens to be Hispanic. And so now you've decided that all Hispanics are jerks, and you'll treat all of them despairingly because your attitude, your mind, has changed. Do you see the progression that we go down? If sin is going to be our master, and if that's going to be our natural choice, there's a natural progression. We start out by trying hard and missing the mark. Then we move into willful acts. And finally, our whole heart has changed. Our whole attitude and mind has changed. And that leads to a natural conclusion. The natural conclusion, St. Paul says, is first of all, we're ashamed of things that we have done. And we look back at the things we've said, our actions taken, we're ashamed of those. But finally, he says, it's death. The final natural conclusion is death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, of being separated from God for all time. So we're free to serve sin. And understand that sin is your natural choice, but there's a natural progression to that, and there's a natural conclusion to that. Now, the message that St. Paul has been teaching us, though, is that you've been free from sin, which means now there's another choice here. Before, you had no choice. You were captive of sin. You had to follow. It was your master. He says, but you've been set free from sin because of what Jesus has done for you, and now you're free to serve God. We're free to serve God. The door has been opened to us to serve God. But understand, that's not a natural choice for us. In fact, it's not even a choice that we can make. Because on our own, we would never choose to serve God. So instead, it's a supernatural gift. It's not a natural choice for us, but it's a supernatural gift from God. By nature, we're against God. By nature, we would go the opposite direction of God. But God gives his gift to us, and he comes after us, and he captures our hearts. The supernatural gift, the supernatural act, was when Mary conceived and gave birth to her firstborn, the Son of God. The supernatural act is when the innocent takes the punishment for the guilty. The supernatural act is when Jesus, who is without sin, hangs on a cross and receives the punishment of all mankind's sin. The supernatural act is when Jesus walks out of the grave 3 days later, declaring a victory not only for himself, but he says, for all who believe in him, he declares them to be righteous. If you're here last week, that's the word justification. That's what God does for us. We're spectators. We have nothing to do with it. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God gives us this supernatural gift as he comes into our world. And though we're guilty, he declares us innocent and forgiven. So he frees us from sin. And just like there is a natural progression, there's also a supernatural progression. And the supernatural progression is that God comes to us, and St. Paul says that God comes to us in baptism. And in baptism, when the Spirit enters into our hearts, he links us with Jesus so that everything that Jesus did is now counted towards us. Jesus on the cross, as if we were there. Jesus in the grave, as if we were there. Jesus coming out of the tomb, as if we came out of the tomb. You see, on our own, we can't serve God. But now, because the Holy Spirit is in us, we can indeed are free to serve him and to live for him. Let's take a look at Romans 6:17. He says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have now become slaves to righteousness. We're set free from being a slave to sin. Now we're a slave to righteousness. If we go down to verse 22, he goes on to say, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification. Justification is what God does for us. We're spectators. Sanctification, we get to get in the game to see what God is doing through us and with us as we live according to God's standard. So it leads to sanctification. And then he says that it leads to a natural conclusion. And the natural conclusion is eternal life. If sin is your master, it leads to eternal death. If God is your master, it leads to eternal life. This is the gift that he's given to us. The freedom that has been won for us is not a freedom to do whatever we want to do. It's a freedom that says now we have a choice. Because we've been set free from the power of sin, we're no longer captive by it. But by the power of the Spirit living within us, we are free to choose to serve God. Now, we know this side of heaven, we won't do it 100% of the time, and that's why we keep going back to the cross again and again and again and giving that new life and assurance of our forgiveness that indeed, we are set free now to live for Him, to be slaves of righteousness. You see, a whole change of heart has happened for us. See, beforehand, we would be obedient to God either out of fear or out of hope for a reward. We'd be obedient to God for fear of the punishment that He might have on us, or the hope that maybe we did enough good things that we'd get some kind of reward. But now our heart has changed. No longer do we do that for God. Now we're obedient to God because we want to. Because we've had a change of heart and we've had a change of attitude. That's the natural progression that leads to the supernatural conclusion. So, for instance, yesterday I looked out the backyard, and I said, I get to mow the lawn today. And I actually enjoyed mowing the lawn. Now, it might have something to do with the fact that it's such a small patch, it only takes 15 minutes, but I'm not sure. But no, right? I do not do it because I have to, but now I actually enjoy, right, the proud ownership of your home. I enjoy being out in the backyard and working on things in the backyard and cleaning things up back there, not because I have to, because I actually want to. That's the freedom that you have in Christ, is that now we become slaves of righteousness. We become obedient to God, not because we have to, but because we want to. That's how you've been set free to serve. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus. We also thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to us at our baptism. May it empower us to live courageously for you and to be slaves of your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.